Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am so excited because tonight we will continue our study from the book of Matthew. And we know that this study will expound upon the teachings of Jesus Christ according to the gospel or good news of Matthew, his apostle. It gives us a scenario of Jesus' life as prescribed by one of his 12 apostles. Many new concepts are revealed in 28 chapters of this manuscript, and the theologians agree that Matthew's version of events are written from a Jewish perspective, meaning from a viewpoint of Jewish learning traditions. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank all of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using, my precious brothers and sisters. Thank you so very much. As our theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through King David, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. That's taken from Psalms 65, verse 4. Now, the promise is that if God has chosen you, you're going to eat lavishly the gifts and fruits of God, as well as those that will be supplied this side of eternity physically. God said through King Solomon, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain the favor of the Lord. This is taken from Proverbs 8, chapter 8, verse 34 and 35. The promise is that the man that will hear God and will watch at his gates and stand at the post of his door, we'll find life. and obtain the favor of the Lord. God said through King David, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hand. This is taken from Psalms 9, verse 16. Now, the promise is that judgment will fall upon the wicked. But remember, my brothers and sisters, it will also fall upon the righteous. But the righteous judgment is better than the wicked judgment. Now, the question is, again, this evening, are you standing on the promises of God? Now, before we go to the lesson, I want you to understand that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, written in secrets, written in parables, written in prophecies, written in proverbs, written in paradoxes, written in riddles, and written in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. Now, let's go to the study. We are in the book of Matthew, and as I always tell you, that there are 28 total chapters in this book, and I've written 78 instructions for the series of study. So let's turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to look at verse 33 through 40. That's Matthew chapter 21, verse 33 through 40. And what I want you to do is, as I read the instruction, I want you to pay attention, or as I read the text, I want you to pay attention to the instruction. And this is the 57th instruction, and this is the instruction. The parable of the householder which planted a vineyard and let it out to his husbandmen. My brothers and sisters, listen. The parable of the householder which planted a vineyard and let it out to his husband, the husbandmen. This is what Jesus said about it in Matthew chapter 21, verse 33 through 40. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a certain vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to the husbandmen and went into a far country." Jesus is symbolizing the earth that God made. Verse 34, "And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruit of it." And again, God has put everything on the earth. Man is supposed to dress it. At the end of time, Jesus will come to take care of the fruit, and it should be made ready. This is what verse 35 says. "And the husbandman took his servant and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the child, or the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance." What this is saying is that the prophets were sent, and the apostles were sent, and the evangelists were sent. Men of God were sent, and women. And what happened is all were rejected, some were killed. And last of all, he sent his son. And of course, we know Jesus was also killed. Verse 39 says, "And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen?" And we know that we just read from the promises of God that judgment will prevail. Okay, now let's go to our Old Testament complement, and let's look and see how the Old Testament compares and agrees with what we just read. We are looking at Psalms 95, and we're going to be reading verse 6 through 11. Psalms 95, verse 6 through 11, and this is what it says. "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation and in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. For 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." This is what David is telling Israel, that in likeness, the householder, he made the vineyard, And after he made the vineyard, he sent men into it to receive the fruits thereof. And this is the same what the psalmist is saying in 95. Now what we're going to do, we're going to break, and then we will conclude with the information.
Listen, America. Be very careful. The Babylonian Empire came down. The Roman Empire came down. The Kushite Empire came down. Don't you get high-minded and think that we cannot come down. We got to be careful what we let go on and what we let happen in this country, because it is possible. History teaches us that kingdoms fall. Nations fall. Empires crush. The Babylonians thought they couldn't be taken. They thought they were bad. But the Persians came up, and they brought the whole empire down. Babylon, not Babylon. Babylon's name goes back to the Tower of Babel. But God still brought them down. Not Babylon. Babylon comes out of the Old Testament. Mesopotamia, the new word we would have would be Iraq. Not them, but God brought them down. God can bring you down. He can shut it down. That's why you got to live with a certain amount of humility. I don't care how many skyscrapers you build, how many jets you own, how strong your technology is. God don't care nothing about none of that. When God gets ready to shut you down, he shut down the whole world with a virus we can't even see. And not one atomic bomb did anybody any good. Not one supersonic jet did anybody any good. Not IBM, not Xerox, not Google, not nobody could do anything about it. God use something we never even thought of. A bug from a bird shut down the planet. You don't know what God's going to fight with, but I declare God's going to get you out of this.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue with instruction number 57 to its conclusion. We already know that the instruction is asking, or telling us about the parable of the householder. And we know Matthew chapter 21 through verse 33 through 40 gives the explanation of that that Jesus gave, and the psalmist, King David, in Psalms 95, verse 6 through 11, gave us the connecting parable or the connecting compliment. Now what we want to do is understand what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives. And this is what it should mean. Beware, lest ye fail to respond to God according to his will, because you risk condemnation and loss. Now, when the householder sent for the fruit of the vineyard, he didn't receive it, and there was condemnation and loss. And that's what I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters. When you receive your call, you must respond, or you're going to suffer the consequences. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Back to Matthew chapter 21. We're going to get another instruction out of Matthew chapter 21. We're going to look at verse 42 through 44. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verse to you. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. My brothers and sisters, do you hear me? The stone which the builders reject, the same has become the head of the corner. And this is what Jesus said about it in Matthew chapter 42, verse 44. Matthew chapter 21, verse 42 through 44. And Jesus said unto them, Did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruit thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. So you must realize that Jesus Christ is the one that has come. And so there's going to be failure, there's going to be success, but he is the rock of offense to those who do not believe. Now we're going to go to our Old Testament complement. We're going to go back to Psalms. We're going to look at Psalms 2. We're going to look at Psalms 2, and we're going to look at verse 6 through 9. Psalms 2, verse 6 through 9. And this is what King David said that connects this dot. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. And that is telling us, that is the foreshadow, that is the parable or the prophecy that's telling us about Jesus, the rock of offense, who will crush his enemies. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that all power has been given to Jesus Christ by God in heaven and on earth to give eternal life to whomever he chooses. My brothers and sisters, that is so important to realize, that all power has been given to the rock of offense. And if you don't respond accordingly, you will lose out. Okay, let's go to the next instruction, instruction number 59. We're going to go back to Matthew. This time we're going to go to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to look at verse 2 through 14. And this is what we're going to, I want you to pay attention to this instruction as I read the text. This is the instruction. The parable about the kingdom of heaven is like unto a king which made a marriage feast for his son. Again, my brothers and sisters, the parable about the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a king which made a marriage feast for his son. And this is what Matthew chapter 22, verse 2 through 14 says about that. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a king, or certain king, which made a marriage feast for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. This is telling us that Israel would not respond to Jesus. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. That's what would happen to the prophets, telling of the forecoming of Jesus, and they would not accept it. Verse 7 says, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. That's when we come into play. The Gentiles were allowed to come in and have access to salvation because of this. Verse 10 says, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? All, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment on. And he saith unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and a gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. My brothers and sisters, this is so critical. Many are called, but if you don't respond to Jesus, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit and come to Jesus, then you're going to lose out. Now let's go to the Old Testament complement and see what it says about this. We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 24 through 30. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 24 through 30. And this is the connecting dots that happened with King David concerning the same. And Nathan said, "My Lord, O king, thou hast said, Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon thy throne. For he is gone down this day and hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the king's sons and the captains of the host and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they eat and drink before him, saying, God save King Adonijah." Now, this is what happened, that they rejected what the king Solomon had decreed, that Solomon would be his heir. Now, this is what verse 26 says. "But me, even me, thy servant, and Zadok the king, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon had not been called. Is this thing done by the Lord king? And hast thou not showed it unto thy servant, who should sit on the throne of the Lord king after him?" Then King David answered and said, "Call me Bathsheba." And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king swore and said, "As the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon the throne in my stead. Even so, I certainly do this day." And so this tells us that the King David, or he would not allow the Adonijah, his son, to take the throne away from King Solomon, who hadn't been anointed yet, but still, he was trying to circumvent that. And that's where this parable of the wedding feast connects. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. In fact, I see that we have another commercial, so we will come back after the commercial break and we'll continue the lesson.
I'm going to make a preposterous statement. If your eyesight is good and your health is normal, I could spend 20 minutes with you, and at the end of that 20 minutes, I would have you hitting a bullseye better than Howard Hill, the greatest archer of all time, had on the best day of his life. Now, understand, he entered 287 tournaments and won 287 of them. He killed a Cape buffalo, a Bengal tiger, a bull elephant. He killed an 18-foot shark under 15 feet of water with bow and arrow. Or maybe it was a 15-foot shark under 18 feet of water. It was a great big one, and he was way down there. Now, let me say it again. I could have you hitting the bullseye more consistently than Howard Hill could have. And you might say, well, I've never shot the bow and arrow. Well, there is one little caveat that we got to add to this. I could have you doing that, though I have never instructed anybody on how to shoot the bow and arrow, provided we had first blindfolded Howard Hill. And you might kind of grin and say, now, come on, Ziegler, that's ridiculous. Of course. How on earth could anybody hit a target they could not even see? And I'll agree, that is an excellent question, but here's an even better one. How can you hit a target you don't even have? Where are your goals in life? Have you written them down? Have you identified the benefits you would receive from reaching those goals? Have you identified the obstacles, the difficulties you'll have to overcome in order to get there? Have you identified the people, the groups, and the organizations you need to work with to get there? Have you discovered or explored what you need to know in order to get there? And finally, have you put the date on it? You see, until you do that, you're just a wandering generality. You haven't become a meaningful specific. That's what you need to do in order to accomplish the most in life. You've got to have a goals program. Now, everybody's got goals. You know, alcoholics have goals. Bank robbers have goals. But an organized goals program will work wonders in your life. Put one together. You'll be glad that you did.
Six.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's complete instruction number 59. Remember that the parable was of the king that invited all to the wedding feast of his son, and it was almost verbatim in Matthew chapter 22, verse 2 through 14. Jesus explains the parable, and then we connected the dot by going to our Old Testament complement, 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 24 through 30, and we saw how Adonijah tried to trick his father, King David, and seized the kingdom from Solomon, and it was similar to what the parable was telling us. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that Jehovah God is calling the invitations to crown his son, Jesus, and those who do not accept Jesus Christ will be lost. That's the bottom line. God is calling Jesus as the king. And if you do not come to the wedding feast, then you are going to be lost. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 22 again. We're going to take another instruction from Matthew 22. We're going to be looking at verse 20 and 21. Matthew chapter 22, verse 20 and 21. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Remember, therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. This is what Matthew chapter 22, verse 20 and 21 says. And he saith unto them, who is this image and superscription? And they say unto him, Caesar's. Then he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God. Now this is critical, my brothers and sisters, because what Jesus was telling them, that you render to the world what belongs to the world. You let the world have what it's supposed to have, and you give God what he's supposed to have. That is critical. Now let's go to the Old Testament complement. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to read verse 8 through 11, and we're going to see how significant this is. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 11, this is what God told Israel, inclusive of rendering to God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that are in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That is critical because God did not give Israel any leeway. We have a lot of leeway today in rendering to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. But God did not give that leeway to Israel. But anyway, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that God demands us to serve him first and then mankind accordingly. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? God demands us to serve him first and then mankind accordingly, because we know that Jesus taught us, seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added unto you. That means that you do have time. That 6 days that God told Israel they could do their work, but the seventh day they couldn't, you still have time to do things that render to Caesar. But to the most part, you must serve God first. Okay, let's go back to our Matthew chapter 22. Again, we're looking at Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to take another instruction from Matthew chapter 22, verse 29 through 32. Verse 29 through 32. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Matthew chapter 22.
Don't watch the wind. Everybody put that in the comment. Don't watch the wind. Because that's what Peter did when he was transcending something that should have caused him to drown, the water. And he was dealing with elements that should have knocked him off his feet.
Hello.
The wind was powerful enough to cause the entire ocean to rock. Wasn't powerful enough to knock Peter down until he watched it, until he put his eyes on it, until he put his focus on it. And man, there's nothing that I believe more strongly than this, that faith and fear are both a product of your focus.
I'm not available now.
And you can choose either one in any moment of your life. And so when we watch the wind and we spend all day just checking stuff that is constantly reinforcing our anxiety and forecasting uncertainty in our future, every once in a while, we've got to take control of our focus. And I just want to make sure you remember that the news is meant to be checked, not watched.
Hello, this is Helen.
The facts are not the ultimate reality for us as people of faith. They're important. Oh, yeah, they're important. Like the facts right now concerning this virus, they're supremely important. But I want to know if you believe there's a deeper reality than that that governs your life. Like the hand of God is on you and your family. And I'm just believing for your peace tonight. But don't watch the wind. It wasn't the wind that knocked Peter down. It was the fact that he watched it. It says when he saw the wind. Check it out in Matthew 14. When he saw the wind, he began to sink. It's what you watch. And it's what you focus on. And just remember, you can control that.
I was so confused.
Died.
Oh, we're all just here. Hang on, everybody. We'll be back here.
He just came up and got the charger, Pete.
So should I try? I can try his phone back.
This is Chris on the phone.
Okay.
Are you getting a charge?
That's you know when you're trying to do something. Right
well,
there, you
keep
messing up here.
Here he is.
All right.
Hey Chris, you
right,
got. I apologize. Okay, I'm trying
here.
To get it. I'm trying to get it back up, but I'm having difficulty
with the charger. It doesn't seem to want to, yeah.
It takes a little bit when it goes dead. So,
right.
All right. Well,
and,
is this a phone we could use, or do we need to wait for that one?
I'm trying. Let me see. I don't know. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Yeah, well, this phone that I'm on now?
Yes.
Can we use that?
Yeah, that's fine. That's then you're on.
Is it hooked up? Yeah. Am I hooked up?
Yeah, you're on right now.
Okay, sorry for the inconvenience, my brothers and sisters. I had some technical difficulty. So now what we're going to do, we're going to continue with lesson number 61. And we were talking about God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And we were using text Matthew chapter 22, verse 29 through 32. And this is what it says. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and of the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but God of the living. And so this is telling us that God is, and when we connect to Genesis, what we're going to do is now go to our New Testament, Old Testament complement. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And that is going to tell us that, and the Lord thy God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So that tells us that the soul is what lives, and the body has been condemned. In fact, if you turn with me again to Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, it also tells us, and moreover, God said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So what God was telling Moses there, that he is the God of the living, and that is what is significant. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the soul is a living substance of God, and it does not cease to exist or die. It will either live in heaven or hell, the lake of fire. That is the significance. That's what I'm trying to share with you, my brothers, sisters, that the soul is constantly alive. To the next instruction, we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to look at verse 36 through 40. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 40. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text to you. Which is the greatest commandment? This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? That was asked Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments have the law and the prophets. And now we're going to go to our Old Testament complement, and we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3 through 9, and see how this dot is connected. This is what Moses rehearsed to the Israelites. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3 through 9. And Moses, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee,
and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers had promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. So that is the greatest commandment, and this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that we accept the faith that God is love and that love is God. So to we Christians, agape love is number one. And that's what I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters. It's agape love that is number one. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 63, and we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 23. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 23, and we're going to be looking at verse 13 through 16. Matthew 23, verse 16 through verse 13 through 16. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. The 11 condemnations Jesus accused the scribes and the Pharisees of. The 11 condemnations Jesus accused the scribes and the Pharisees with. This is what Jesus said. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. The Pharisees wanted to make sure that those who believed them would enter the way that they said and not the way that God said. So that was one of the condemnations. Verse 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses for a pretense, make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Again, Jesus was telling them that the prayers that the Pharisees were offering were not genuine. Verse 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Again, they were teaching false doctrines and converting people and not according to God's will. Verse 16, woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold on the temple, he is a debtor. Again, the Pharisees were changing the way of godliness. 23 through 30 continues this. It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the mightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. They were stressing the materialistic things of the world and not the spiritual things, and that is what was critical in this time frame. Again, verse 24 says, ye blind guides, which strain in a gnat and swallow a camel. They were crossing T's and dotting I's. They were like today that some use only one version of the Bible, and that's all. That is significant. Now, again, verse 25 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortions and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, clean first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. It's the inside that is more important than the outside, and that's what Jesus was condemning them and telling them at that time. Now what we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 27, and we're going to see what the Old Testament complement says about this. Deuteronomy chapter 27, and we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 26. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verses 14 through 26. And this is more critical. This is what told Israel that they must respond to. And the Levite shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any graven image or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Again, you got to honor your father and your mother. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, Amen. You must love your neighbor as yourself. And now we're at a break, and we're going to continue our lesson after the break.
The word today is fellowship. Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. When I think of the word fellowship, I think of relationships. I think of coming together. I think of community. It's a fact that we can do more together, but it's also a fact that we can be more together. And what I mean by that is that other people around us, when we have community with them, when we have fellowship with them, when we have relationship with them, they add to us. You see, I am not complete in myself. I'm born to be my brother's keeper. You're born to help me. We're born to help one another. And there's something beautiful about the fact that when we recognize that and realize that we're not here to just to compete with others, we're here to complete or complement others, that really makes fellowship work. So I hope you have some friends, some people around you that when you're with them, they just help you to not only do more, but to be more. They add value to you. Because what fellowship is basically saying, I'm better with you than without you. That's true. Welcome today. I'm glad you're with us on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let me continue with these 11 condemnations. And what we're doing now is connecting the dot. We read what Jesus told the Pharisees and the scribes in Matthew chapter 23, and now we're in Deuteronomy chapter 27. Verse 14 through 26, and we're seeing what God has told the Israelites that is a curse if they do not respond accordingly. And verse 18 says, cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say amen. And cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow, people shall say amen. And cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife because he uncovereth his father's skirt. And all of the people shall say, Amen. And cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say, Amen. And cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all of the people shall say, Amen. And cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say amen. And cursed be he that conformeth not to all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen. And I think that it should be, I will read verse 26 again because it is so significant. It says, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say amen. So God put on, those are 11 or 12 condemnations, that if you do not listen to the word of God, this is the end result. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. Be assured that all 66 books of our Bible gives us a multitude of condemnations that we should be aware of and not concede to. My brothers and sisters, we need to read all of basic instructions before leaving earth so we will understand and realize what we should be doing and what we should not be doing to satisfy God Almighty. And now let's go to our next instruction. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 23, Matthew chapter 23, and we're going to look at verse 12. In Matthew chapter 23, we're going to look at verse 12, and this is what it says, and the instruction is verbatim. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That is what Jesus is telling us. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And we're going to go to Job. Turn with me now to Job, and we're going to see what was said in Job that compares and agrees. Job chapter 22, verse 28 through 30. Job chapter 22, verse 28 through 30. And this is what Job said. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the iron of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thy hand. Job is telling us that when men are cast down, that's those who are humble, they shall be lifted up, because Jesus will exalt those who humble themselves. And this is what we should get from the reading. This is what we should understand spiritually from what we just read, that God is giving us instruction. We are supposed to receive it humbly. Jesus said, look unto me, those who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest and peace unto your soul. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and I am humble and lowly of spirit, and I will give you rest and peace unto your soul. So that is key. That is what I'm trying to share with you from the instruction that I just gave. And now we're going to take a quick review of what we went over tonight. And this is what we were studying, and I hope that you will receive as an understanding from tonight's lesson, that the parable of the householder that planted a vineyard and let it out to the husbandman, telling us that God has created the earth, and he has given man the responsibility to dress it. And when God comes back for the fruit, we must be willing to give him the fruit, and if not, we will be rejected. The next instruction tells us about the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner, that God sent his son, and he sent him to redeem the world. And he is the stone, and of course we understand through Scripture he became the rock of offense because he was not responded to or not accepted by his own people. Jesus Christ is the stone, and we must respond to him in order to receive salvation. The next instruction was about the parable about the kingdom of heaven like unto a marriage feast. And what we learned from that is that all are invited to the wedding feast of the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the Israelites rejected Jesus, so they are outside of the feast. But those who are within the feast today, those who are good and those who are bad, but you must have on the wedding garment, as the parable suggests. And that wedding garment is our baptism. And those who do not have received Jesus through baptism will be cast into outer darkness. And the next instruction is, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And we understand from this that the world is going to require of us certain things. We are both flesh and spirit. And so the flesh is going to be, we are going to have to respond to the flesh accordingly. But it's the spirit first. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added unto you. That tells us that we are to first seek the inside and not the outside, and that is where we will be successful in our walk with Christ. The next instruction says that God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And we understand that the spirit, the soul, it was the spirit of life was breathed into man, and the flesh was made of the earth, which it will return to the earth, but the spirit will never die. But it will either be with God or it will be away from God. That's the significance of that instruction. The next instruction, which is the greatest commandment, we know that love is number one, and that Paul even taught that love worketh our faith. So we know that it's impossible to please God without faith. So we must make sure that if we want to increase our faith, we must work our love. And love is the number one commandment, and that is agape love. That is God love. The next instruction was the condemnations that Jesus identified. We have to be aware that we must be very familiar with what we should be doing and what we should not be doing as far as Christianity is concerned. And if we do what is correct, we will be rewarded with salvation. If we don't do what is correct, we will be lost. And the last of the evening, the instruction was, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and whosoever humble himself shall be exalted. We know that humility is so important in godliness. Jesus told us that he is meek and humble and lowly of spirit. And through Jesus Christ, we ascend. We do not ascend because of pride. And that's what exaltation does. It makes us prideful. And we understand that Satan fell because of pride. And that is one of the main things that cause us so much aggravation, is because of boasting and self-pride. And in order to make sure that we know that that is significant, Jesus gave us an instruction that tells us that whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and whoever humble himself shall be exalted. So now that concludes tonight's lesson. I'm glad you were. I again apologize for the technical difficulties that occurred. Now, as we have completed the lesson for this evening, and as we are about to sign off, the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and patience and encouragement.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.
Now, as we say goodnight to all of our listeners, remember what Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. God bless and good night.